Hello, and welcome to Burn Court, the court of moral victories. We are bridging the gap between no recourse and legal recourse by reviewing and analyzing listener-submitted disputes, and then deciding a winner. I am your host, Nate, and today we're covering our second demo dispute. Last week, we released the first demo about neighbors and a dangerous tree branch extending over property lines and hanging like the sword of Damocles. Today, we're entering the world of medical malpractice. So let's recap the facts here. A Vermont surgeon, let's call him Chad, removes a patient Karen's left kidney during a procedure that was supposed to address a benign cyst. In post-op, Karen is informed that, in addition to the cyst, the surgeon removed the whole kidney. The surgeon claims in defense, "You only need one kidney anyways," resisting liability. The patient suffers reduced renal reserve, which is the kidney's ability to increase its glomerular filtration rate above its resting level when a stimulus like a protein load is introduced, as well as work limitations and anxiety about future health. Now, though this is a demo case, these things actually happen, and this particular story was taken from a real friend of mine who is a medical malpractice defense attorney in Boston. This is one of the cases he defended. I don't know the real outcome. They probably settled out of court because reputation damage is often far worse than monetary damages, especially for a wealthy, financially backed hospital. This might be a good time to mention something about our slogan, the Court of Moral Victories. Though our aim is to provide an analysis to award a moral verdict, the term moral victory is actually a derisive term used by lawyers to dissuade a client from bringing a case when they're unlikely to win much money. They might win the case, but without compensation, it is only a moral victory. Well, enough of that tangent. Back to the show. Here's our first category, legal. Vermont medical malpractice turns on breach of the professional standard of care and causation. Separately, Vermont recognizes lack of informed consent and, where a procedure exceeds consent, it could be considered medical battery. Removing an organ without valid specific consent is presumptively unlawful, even if survival is possible with one kidney. The no harm because one kidney suffices defense fails. Damages include loss of bodily integrity, reduced physiologic reserve, heightened risk, and emotional distress. Documentation, consent forms, and operative indications will be decisive. Deviation from charts or mislabeling structures is classic negligence. Now, there are some exceptions to this particular rule where if something happened during the surgery and the doctor needed to make a change to save the life of the patient and the whole kidney had to come out, that might be a justifiable defense, but we're not seeing that in this particular case. The lesson here is doctors make mistakes too, and don't let their pretentious, condescending nature stop you from talking to a lawyer, who, by the way, might also make a mistake. Take note. A possible future show here. From our historical lens, history says, from early surgical ethics to modern patient rights, unauthorized removals, wrong side surgeries, excessive procedures, have been condemned regardless of outcomes. The 20th century doctrine of informed consent arose precisely to prevent paternalistic doctor knows best interventions. Hippocrates, often considered the father of medicine, would likely agree removing the entire organ rather than the cyst is excessive. Would Thomas Sydenham, who coined the phrase, first do no harm, consider removing the whole kidney as causing harm? We think he would, especially when it's a perfectly functioning, normal kidney that just had a benign cyst. From our literary works, there's two that we wanted to mention here. The first is by Kazuo Ishiguro, who won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 2017. He wrote Never Let Me Go in 2005, which is a haunting meditation on bodies used without full consent. It is a dystopian novel about a young woman who reflects on her life at a seemingly idyllic boarding school where she and her friends grew up. The story reveals they are clones, raised to become organ donors for normals, and they are confronting their predetermined fate of completion, which is organ donation leading to death. It is sort of like that movie The Island with Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor. And I also can't help but think of Multiplicity with Michael Keaton, aka Batman, and Andy McDowell. Though it's a comedy, maybe we'll have to discuss cloning in another episode, but we can't help wonder in this situation, if you own your body, and you own what your body produces, at what point, if ever, does something your body is used to create become its own being, an autonomous entity that is self-aware and has a conscience? At what point do you stop being its owner? The other literary work is Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. This interrogates creation without responsibility. Now, if I had a co-host with me today, we could probably discuss this particular situation for several hours. This is a fascinating thought to consider, especially as modern medical science develops. If a person dies and someone developed the ability to reanimate them, not like with necromancy, but with a real scientific approach, what would that look like today, and how ethical would this be? Could you use their organs? Could you make them work for you for free, like the S word? This is perhaps outside the scope of today's malpractice case, but it makes us wonder. However, both works indict the idea that technical success excuses moral trespass. We think the literary record leans toward the idea that extracting the whole kidney was excessive, even if you could technically survive with only one. On to our philosophical lens, again with Immanuel Kant. Kant was an Enlightenment philosopher whose work reshaped moral theory by grounding ethics in reason and autonomy, not in consequence, as in, the ends do not justify the means. His central text, Groundwork of the Metaphysics of Morals, introduces the categorical imperative, the demand to act only according to principles that could be universal laws, and to treat humanity always as an end and never merely as a means. Applied here, the surgeon who removes a healthy kidney for convenience treats the patient not as an autonomous end, but as an object of professional tidiness, a violation of Kant's core demand. In Metaphysics of Morals, 1797, Kant explicitly lists duties to oneself and to others that forbid self-mutilation or harm without rational consent, emphasizing bodily integrity as part of moral self-respect. John Stuart Mill, 1806 to 1873. Mill, a British philosopher and economist of the liberal tradition, wrote On Liberty in 1859 and Utilitarianism in 1861. His utilitarian ethic judges actions by the greatest happiness principle. Moral rightness maximizes pleasure and minimizes pain for all affected. In On Liberty, Mill also defends individual sovereignty over one's own body and mind. The doctor's unilateral decision violates both pillars. It inflicts unnecessary harm and negates the patient's autonomy, even if medical outcomes appear fine. The act produces greater overall suffering, loss of trust, fear, risk, than benefit. So utilitarian calculus condemns it. Aristotle, 384 BC to 322 in Greece, the founder of virtue ethics, Aristotle taught that morality is the cultivation of character aimed at eudaimonia, human flourishing. In Nicomachean Ethics, Book 6, he describes phronesis, practical wisdom, as the virtue of knowing the right act for the right reason in the right way. A surgeon's craft must be guided by phronesis, technical skill joined with moral judgment. Removing a healthy organ when restraint is possible displays not courage or prudence, but excess, what Aristotle would call hamartia, moral error through imbalance. The mean between negligence and overzealous intervention is careful discernment. The doctor's failure to exercise that mean betrays both virtue and purpose. Now going on to our religious lens, we'll begin with Christianity, which might say, healing is service, but violating consent profanes stewardship of the body. I think this is partly the my body is a temple type of religious philosophy. Judaism and the Pikuach Nefesh allows life-saving interventions, but outside of emergency, consent governs. And I think we covered that up in our legal section, that if something were to happen during the surgery, the doctor could remove the whole kidney if it was to save the life of the patient. And my apologies for butchering any of these words, particularly the Judaism ones that I've struggled with in the last couple episodes. Islam would say, preservation of bodily integrity and informed permission are moral prerequisites. And I'll just summarize that Hinduism, Confucianism, and Taoism would all agree, do only what aligns naturally with the agreed aim. Excess cutting opposes the way. And now, in our last category, social norms. U.S. norms are uncompromising on patient consent. Wrong side or unauthorized surgeries are always met with strong public condemnation, and juries view the you only need one defense as flippant and unethical. So finally, our moral judgment claim. The patient has the stronger moral claim. The defense collapses. The survival capacity equals consent is a bogus claim. The loss of an organ is a profound compensable harm, and the patient should probably seek damages. Well, that's it on today's episode. And just a quick note before I sign off for the day. We're going to do a few more of these demo episodes. I want to have 5 or 6 for listeners to start getting acquainted with. And after we release 5 or 6 what normal episodes might look like, we're going to go ahead and probably do a few sample subscriber-only episodes. Our Burn After Dark series, Second Grade Justice, and various contentious subjects like gun rights, taxation, abortion, circumcision, all the juicy stuff. So we're going to be getting into those real shortly. So get to the website, subscribe, don't miss our new episodes. And thanks again for listening. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can listen to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and on our website, burncourt.com, where you can vote on who you think is the moral victor. Justice may be subjective, but the burn is absolute.